May only the truth be spoken here, and only the truth received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of the best training that I have received during my time with the Royal Canadian Navy has been at the Damage Control School in Colwood. Anyone who sails with the Pacific Fleet goes there to learn how to deal with two of the major threats that face any ship in the middle of the ocean. Those threats are water and fire. At the Damage Control School, they have recreated the lower decks of a ship, and from a control room, technicians can pour water into the space through punctures and other leaks in the bulkheads. The students' job is to work as a team to plug up those leaks with various plugging devices. Sometimes it's wooden blocks, sometimes it's rags, whatever it takes. Prospective sailors learn to build wooden frames called shoring, which is designed to assist in assuring that the ship's integrity is maintained during a flood. No class ever finishes this training until they are up to their chests in cold water that continues to pour in on them. Another part of the school is also laid out like the interior of a ship, with ladders, hatches, doors, and enclosed spaces. These areas can be filled with smoke or set on fire. Students don firefighting equipment and breathing apparatus, and they are taught how to work as a team to attack a fire on a ship. If you have never worn firefighting gear or a face mask or breathed through a mask, it can be a frightening and a claustrophobic experience. Then turn off all the lights and add smoke or intense heat and flames to that scenario. It's extremely challenging training. And yes, even a chaplain who is going to sail has to complete this training. Even though some sailors have jokingly said to me, "Padre, if we have to rely on the chaplain to help fight the fire, we're in real trouble." Everyone on a ship needs to know what has to transpire if the unthinkable happens and you find yourself out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a burning ship. Just ask anyone who was on board HMCS Protector during their engine room fire in 2014. The Navy works hard to ensure that a ship's company knows what they need to do to fight a fire or a flood. Fire and water are two of a sailor's greatest concerns. And so it fascinates me that these two forces, fire and water, are two of the powerful symbols of baptism. The water which is poured over our heads or into which we are immersed reminds us that we cannot live without water. Without water, life is impossible. Water refreshes and renews us. Imagine plunging into the lake on a hot summer day, and what a relief that crisp, icy freshness brings. Water cleanses us. Recall a time when you have jumped into the shower after vigorous exercise or hard work in the garden. Water reinvigorates us, restores us, and makes us fresh. And fire. We talk about kindling the imagination, setting our spirits alight with excitement, new possibilities, new directions, new ideas. When we want to get someone moving, we talk about lighting a fire under them. When we are on fire spiritually, we are vibrant, glowing, motivated, and alive. Fire is the Holy Spirit lighting us up. Two powerful and potentially dangerous forces linked with this sacrament of baptism. Just what is happening when someone is baptized? Baptism is about identity. It is about who we are and whose we are, to paraphrase the introduction to the baptismal liturgy in the Book of Alternative Services. And we see this in the story of Jesus' baptism. He is told in a very clear way who he is. "You are my beloved Son," God says to him. And then Jesus is told how God feels about him. God says, "I am well pleased with you." The good news is that when we are baptized, it is a powerful outward and visible sign that we also belong to God and that we are beloved by God. We know this because Jesus chose to get in line with all of the others who were baptized that day. He joined them to be in solidarity with them and with us. We, like him, are children of God, and we, like him, are beloved by God. And this is brought home beautifully in that first lesson from Isaiah this morning. God says to his people, "I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." We do not face the fires and floods of life alone. God goes into the fire and through the water with us. Through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. We have been called by name, and we are loved. If you've ever wondered who you are, there's your answer. But baptism is not only about identity. What are we being cleansed and reinvigorated for? What new direction and possibilities are we being prepared for? If we look at what immediately follows today's gospel, we read this. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. In other words, baptism launched Jesus into his ministry. It was the beginning. Baptism is not an end in itself. Baptism is a starting point. Jesus' response to hearing who he is and whose he is to give himself totally to the building up of the kingdom of God. He gave himself to bringing good news to the poor, preaching release to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind. Unfortunately, many Christians have not been taught to see their baptism as a beginning. Particularly with infants or children who are baptized, baptism has too often been viewed as something that needs to be done to or for a child, because that's the way it's always been done in my family. Or we need to have beautiful pictures of the baby at the church wearing the traditional family christening gown. Not that long ago, baptism was done privately and not as a part of the life of the congregation. This no longer is the norm. Because baptism is the rite by which a person becomes a member of the body of Christ, celebrations are held when the congregation is meeting for worship so that they can be a part of welcoming the newly baptized into the body. The congregation makes a promise to do whatever they can do to support the newly baptized in their life in Christ. Baptism is not just about the individual being baptized. It involves the entire Christian community. Like Jesus after his baptism, each Christian must discover, with God's help, their role in making the kingdom of God real in their day. And like a ship's company responding to the challenges of life on a ship, each Christian makes this journey in the mutual support of a community of others who are there to walk with them through the challenges of life. Every so often, we have an opportunity to renew our baptismal vows, to be reminded of who we are and whose we are, to remember that we are part of the body of Christ and called to bring Christ into the world. I want to suggest something else that we might do. Martin Luther is widely quoted as having said, "When you wash your face, remember your baptism." And if you do this, You might repeat those words from Isaiah this morning. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And then go forth into the world. Amen. Thank you.